to the Starry Eyed Podcast. My name is Brendan.
And I'm Jen. On this show, we chat about all things Williams Syndrome.
The ups and downs and what it's like living with.
And being a parent to someone with.
Williams Syndrome.
We're excited to share our community with you. Thanks for being here.
It's 1 year.
It's 1 year.
Happy anniversary! I'm going to insert applause here.
Where's the sprinkles? Confetti sprinkles. Cue the confetti sprinkles.
It's not a perfect science.
That's how we roll this, with this show, right? We're just trying to make sprinkles, and only one of us on this podcast can. But they look like hearts. It was a good episode, I think.
You know, we spend so much of this podcast, we are trying to look forward, we're trying to be present and talk about things that are going on now, things that are coming up, but it also sometimes it's fun to look back and and look at the work that we've done over the past year. We got the first co-host back in to check in with all of us. And so Brendan was the very first guest.
That's right. And Steph was our very first host.
Yeah. The host. So
she's doing great. I'm glad that she is on the road to some more positive things. I think we know in the Williams Syndrome community that folks can have like health challenges, but they don't get talked about a lot, especially as you get to be an adult. And so, yeah, she's had some like health stuff that she's been working through, but it sounds like she is turning that corner, and we're super excited for her. It was good to hear some like positivity.
Yes.
And then Syndra Cole joined us. She was from original episode 2, the former president of the Board of Trustees.
Yeah.
So it was great. And it was really fun because she actually got to turn interviewer on us.
Yeah.
Her questions were actually a lot of her questions came from our audience, right? Like we put out some surveys and said, what do you guys want to know? And we got a few questions back. So she asked us those. It was fun to hear everybody's responses. And then I don't know if they'll make the cut, but I asked some hard hitting questions.
They'll make the cut.
And I'll never think about Joel and Thinmans the same.
We have a rift now in our friendship that
divide
that will never be bridged.
Yeah, we talked a lot about where we want to take the show in its, you know, second year. I don't know, are we going to leave the sponsors' names in? We could just shout them out. We can tag them and see if they're excited about working with us. Who did we say? I can't even remember.
Oh, we talked about
hashtag Zildjian.
Yeah, we talked about Zildjian cymbals, pearl drums,
Sweetwater.
Sweetwater, yeah.
Guitar Center.
Yeah, Guitar Center. We talked about any major healthcare providers that want to give us some money. We'll speak kindly about your services.
Disney.
Oh, Disney. Yeah, Disney. If Disney wants to go ahead and sponsor us, we would be happy.
I'd love to go to Disney World.
I'll change my little thing down here in the corner. I'll put Mickey. I have no problem putting Mickey Mouse down here in the corner.
We definitely still want to hear from the community. Like, what would you like to see as we head into our new set of episodes? Is there anything you liked about the podcast? Are there things that you didn't like? We're open to all that feedback. We want to make this a platform for all of you, and we want it to be of value. So please, if you have any feedback to give us, send it to podcast@williams-syndrome.org.
Absolutely. Let us know. And we're so happy to get to do this. In a perfect world, we'd be getting to do this every week. But we're all just too flipping busy right now. Maybe we'll be able to. Well, frankly, here's the deal. If we have a sponsor and they say, well, it needs to be a weekly podcast, well, then we'll make it a weekly podcast.
Do it. We got to do what we got to do to
We'll
get it
figure it
out.
out.
That's right.
But let's hope that's a problem we have down the line.
It's definitely a labor of love, though. I mean, like, I sense, well, and I know the two of you, I know this is work that you want to do. This is definitely work that I want to do. And I enjoy highlighting the experiences and the journeys of those living with Williams syndrome. So I, if we get to do this every week, that would be a blessing.
Let's
We're
just
just
say we're
spitfiring
open.
ideas, you know.
We're manifesting. We're trying to put that out into the universe. Inner Sense Beauty, they're wonderful. We had them on the podcast. Of
Big hair products. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank
yeah,
you
thanks everybody.
for supporting our little podcast like you do. We appreciate it. Like I said, we love doing this work and we're excited for 2024.
I think it's going to be an exciting year. Thank you to the two of you. We say it a lot to each other. I adore both of you, and I wouldn't want to do this with anybody else. So thank you, Jen and Brendan. You guys are just your A plus gold star.
You're the
All the
best.
love.
The
All the love to you
bestest.
both.
Yes, hearts.
Hearts. All right, let's start this.
Absolutely.
Let's launch this rocket.
Let's go. Well, hello, Steph. It's good to see you again.
Yes, it's great to see you guys. I've been dealing with a lot of health issues. That's why I haven't been able to get back on and do everything. I'm dealing with like hip problems to the point where I can barely walk. Oh my God, just too many things going on.
Well,
But they
we
finally,
miss you.
we miss you
I
terribly.
know, I missed you guys too. And they finally found an answer. Hooray!
Or
For what's been going on with me for the last year. There's a bulge disc in one of my vertebrae, so it pushes on the nerve endings and it makes it extremely painful. So what I'm going in on March 7th is to get a shot to help it like stop with the pain, but I'm not exactly sure if I'm gonna have to keep going for the shots or whatever else. But I did have hip shots and they were extremely painful. And this time, this one's gonna be unbelievably painful. So they're gonna give me anesthesia and stuff like that. So
Has that been your main health issue over the last year? Because I know you were dealing with a couple of things.
yes, that's my main health issue, and it's been rough. It's been very rough, like going back and forth to the doctors, and then I was supposed to have bariatric surgery, but he said, no, you can't have bariatric surgery, and a bunch of just crazy things that really made me disappointed. But I'm not worried about it. The whole reason from me gaining the weight is the pain and depression and everything like that. But I got it handled, so I'm very
You're a
happy
tough
about
cookie,
it.
Steph. You got this.
I really am, and I have a job, so I've been working.
Tell us about
Yeah,
that.
yes, let's go.
I work for Chaos and Kindness, the recycled percussion people, and it's an amazing job. It really is so much fun, and their main base is on special needs people that make shirts and stuff like that, and I help put all the mail together and a bunch of other things, and just a lot of fun things. And in July, my sister's getting married, so
which I'm sister, gonna... Sarah?
Yeah,
that's her awesome. And her
boyfriend, her and her boyfriend are getting married in July, and then
okay, that's exciting. You have a lot of fun stuff going on. I remember right around the time that you were thinking that maybe the podcast was going to be too hard in your schedule, that you were thinking about taking a job with Chaos and Kindness. So I'm glad you're still doing it.
I really love it. It's amazing. And the people are amazing. Everybody's amazing. And I was shocked because at first I thought it was going to be a volunteer job. Right. Like, come in once a week and volunteer. But no, it turned out to be a complete turnaround and become a job. So it's that's so awesome. Fun.
That's yeah, cool.
That's great. You're doing awesome work, Steph.
Yeah, it really helps with, like, my depression, because I said that's one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life. Like, it's my favorite job ever.
What makes it fun? Like, what do you love about it?
I love that I get to tell people about the experiences with the guys and everybody else, and tell them about, like, the job that I do and the products that people with disabilities make. It's so neat. Like, they make shirts, they make hoodies, they make a bunch of amazing things. Like, I just had my 40th birthday.
Wow. What? This is a great year for you.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to make it to 40 or not.
But here you are, you know?
Yes. Still
kicking and thriving and doing well, you know?
Yeah, it's just amazing. Like, I've been so fortunate with, like, my life and my family and everything like that.
Yeah, 40 is the new 20. That's what I tell myself. So,
yes.
Just think you're 20.
I know. People think I'm, like, in my 20s. I'm like, no, I just turned 40.
Yeah, you look great. Yeah. How are your cats? I've been wanting to know how your cats are doing.
Oh, my gosh. We have a baby, Hazel. She's a year old. She's a full orange-blown female cat. She is the best cat. She's funny and sweet, and my other two cats... Well, my Siamese doesn't like her very much, but we're trying to get them to get along, so...
Yeah.
I remember you saying that, like, your cats weren't really, like, in love with her, but they're doing better. They're at least, like, letting her live there.
Yeah, thankfully, because that poor cat, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so how you were saying that it's hard for you to walk right now. How has that been at, like, work? Has that been hard to deal with it? Or have you been making it through?
I've been making it through because they help me if I need it. And they're great. Like, if I need help, they're like, no problem. I'll help you get things. Don't worry about it. Or I even have a walker or a cane that I bring with me.
Yeah, it's awesome that they're so accommodating.
That's good. Have you had a lot of free time to do anything fun? What have you been up to outside of work and health stuff?
Outside of work and health, I have been hanging out with a friend that I'm actually met through Chaos and Kindness.
Okay.
And we have the same exact birthday. So we decided to go to Maine together and go see a recycled percussion show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was reflecting back this last week on all the different episodes that we've done on the Starry Eyed podcast, and the recycled percussion episode that we did was great, and it is fun, obviously, because it's a fun group of people and they have a lot of energy and the work that they're doing is fun. But I also was thinking about when, out of all the guests that we've had, they are probably the guests, well, they are by far and away the guests that have stayed in touch with me. And
oh, wow, no kidding.
Yeah, and they're, you know, and just all of them, right? Jimmy Love, his dad, Justin.
Yes.
And
boys, really, all the people, yeah.
Yeah, I really can tell that they're a very close-knit group and a group that is just very people-oriented. And so that, I think, is definitely one of my favorites as I think about all the ones that we've done.
Oh, me too. I think that's my absolute favorite one ever.
I mean, you got nominated as prom queen and you got a job. So
right.
It was a pretty good deal for you.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I was shocked when they're like, yeah, you have a job now. I'm like, okay, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad that you're doing great and that you're feeling like you're getting on the track to recovery with your health stuff.
Yes, which I'm happy about because I was a mess before that. So,
yeah,
I can only imagine. You're finding some ways to stay positive too. Have you been doing any traveling?
We did go to see my aunt for 3 weeks in Washington.
Oh,
right, that's cool. How was that?
Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State. She lives in Bremerton, Washington. So it was really great. I had a fun time, even though I was in a lot of pain. We just had a blast.
That's awesome. Well, and I was just thinking about how, you know, when you started the podcast, right, you and Joel had talked about wanting to bring the experiences and the lives of those living with Williams syndrome, you know, to life, right? Via podcast. And so it's exciting that you get to, you know, start doing things for you, things you want to do and tackling some of these health things, right? That's not exciting, but that's a thing that we all have to face.
Right. And that girl, Kate Bitterfield,
yeah,
I talk to her all the time, and she's so fun to talk to. She really is.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite guest that you interviewed now that we're talking about that?
Oh, my goodness. Kate was my favorite. Kate was my absolute favorite.
Kate is amazing, and she's doing better now, right? That she had her surgery. And
oh, yes. Yes, she had to have something done with her head and then her heart. She went into AFib after she had her surgery, but she's completely fine now.
Good. We're thinking of you, Kate, and I hope you're taking in all the musicals.
My God. Yes, she's been to tons, let me tell you.
I wish she has.
Yeah.
30 episodes, all with different life experiences of those living with Williams syndrome. Lots of good nuggets of information, right? And it's really like brings the community together. Well, I'm glad everything is going good for you, girlfriend. And it's good to see your face.
Yeah, you guys too. Yeah.
And thank you for, you know, coming up with this idea of having a podcast. You know, if it wasn't for you, you know, none of this would have been possible. So, you know, and Jen and Joel, of course, you know, as well. So thank you guys. And yeah, all the love, all the good stuff.
You know, I love the podcast. I just felt really awful and I just couldn't do it anymore.
You have to take care of you, right? There's always time for all this other stuff. Like you are in a path towards healing and towards like a lot of good things.
Yeah, definitely.
That's more important than anything, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, it was so good to see you. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
We could probably just like jump right on in because Syndra was guest number two. She was in episode two of the podcast.
Yep.
And some things have, well, some things have changed in the last year for Syndra.
Sure. Yeah.
She gained her sweet, sweet freedom.
Hey, you look rested. You look
fresh. I am.
How are you? How are you, Syndra?
I'm doing really well. I am, yeah, I don't know, living the dream, Joel. Isn't that what we say?
Yep.
What are you doing with your free time now?
I honestly don't feel like I have all that much more. I really thought I was going to, and somehow it's being filled with all the other things, you know.
Yeah.
It's four kids and at home. That'll do it.
Are they just keeping you busy with like activities and
sports? Yeah, sports, school. Like I think springtime, right? Like getting ready for all those standardized tests. The teachers kick it up a notch, and there's just endless amounts of work that need done and studying. So,
I'm so excited, yeah, to have you on again and to chat about like fun stuff. We can talk about like. Yeah. I don't have to talk about board stuff. We can talk about.
Yeah, we had some people submit some questions, and Syndra was like, "Well, why don't I ask them?" And so I forwarded them on to you. So I guess yeah, go right on ahead. Hit us with your first one.
Sure. So it seems like our audience wants to know a little bit more about you all personally. Personally, very interested in how old your children are and maybe what some of your experiences are with Williams syndrome. So I'm sure, I mean, I just know from when I was on and some of them that I've listened to, there's little nuggets sprinkled in here and there where you talk about your experience, but let's turn the tables on you guys and you can share a little bit about your loved ones.
Hey, Brandon, you go first.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to be 37 in August. I have Williams syndrome. I wasn't diagnosed until I was almost 13. Yeah, I've had a wide variety of experiences, you know, with Williams syndrome and also as a board member and, you know, working closely with Syndra in the past and, you know, my buddy, I love ya. Yeah, there's, you know, many experiences, many life lessons, many, you know, live and learn kind of things. Yeah.
How many?
Brendan, tell them what your favorite thing to do is.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, let's see. What my favorite thing to do is music is like one of my biggest things. It's everything and anything to me. It's saved me so many times from going down the wrong path or, you know, making the wrong decision or getting my head out of my rear end, so to speak. And it's the only thing that really like calms me down when it comes to any stressful situation. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a musical family. So I was kind of born into it because my sister is a musician. My uncle, three of my cousins are musicians. It's a lifesaver. Music is a lifesaver for me, and it's one of my biggest passions.
Do you have one sister or two sisters?
I have a sister and a stepbrother.
Stepbrother. Okay. Sister and a stepbrother. And you're the only one who has a disability. Okay. Cool. Joel?
It's my wife and I, we have our son Bennett, who will be turning 13 in just a couple months. Yeah, so we'll be full on into teenager mode. Well, we're already in teen, but for many, many years, I was an actor, a professional actor. And then when the pandemic happened and all the acting work went away, that's when I really leaned into learning more about advocacy and worked with Family Voices of Minnesota, part of the Family Voices USA network, where it worked. I was on the board of a service organization here in the Twin Cities for adults with disabilities, developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities. And that led to a conversation with the incoming executive director, Mary Van Hannigan. And she's like, hey, you want to come help? Want to come help do this? And so then that's how I got here.
Jen.
Well, I've talked about Stella a million times, million billion times. on this podcast. So Stella is my oldest. She is 13. She'll tell you she's almost 14 in July, but who's counting? She's very excited to be a teenager. She wasn't diagnosed until she was 5. And so we were sort of thrust into this world quickly, and it's taken us a long time to get our bearings. I have another daughter who is 10, who is typical. And yeah, I was going to say similarly to Joel, but not similarly. I had a previous life where I was in business, and that was like my dream, was to be a vice president or a CEO of a company. And right around the time that Stella was diagnosed with Williams syndrome, I had this epiphany that that may not be my calling. And so I left that world, and I just have poured myself into both my kids, but I find joy and I spend a lot of time in the advocacy piece. I'm a learner, and I love to learn. I heard this term the other day called micro learning. You guys might have heard it, like where you're absorbing like small bits of information, you know, more frequently. And so that's what I would say that I am. I'm a micro learner. I love sharing what I've learned with people in our community. I love sharing what I've learned about other disabilities with our community. And I certainly like love doing that in the education space, where I spend a lot of time making sure that this girl, you guys can't see her, but she's here today, this girl gets the things that she needs at school to be successful. So I love this community. It's so fun. And we were talking before we started this questions about like kind of who I was before that diagnosis. Like there was a person I was before this, and there's a person I am after. The person I am now is a little bit less perfectionistic, a little bit less organized, but a lot more passionate, and a lot more like leaning into, you know, the diversity of life. So we love doing this work. Sandra,
mm-hmm.
You answer the question. You see, so now you got to ask the questions, then you're going to answer the questions.
Yes. Okay.
So
we have 5 kids that range in age from 6 to 26. Eden is number 2 in that line. She just turned 16 a couple of weeks ago. And I really just can't even believe that I have a 16-year-old daughter who, I mean, it's crazy to me. But we also have, so our oldest, a son, is, and then Eden, 16. And then we have a 12-year-old daughter. So like you guys, she turns 13 in July. So I feel like we're all kind of sharing that experience together. And then we have a 10-year-old son and a almost 7-year-old son. So
are these all your kids? Like you birthed these kids? I just cannot.
The 4 youngest. Yeah.
26-year-old child.
No, he's my stepson, but I
claim. Okay. Okay. I was like, because you had babies when you were so young.
Well, one of the questions that came up too, I think it's a very natural follow-up to the ones that you guys just answered, because Joel and Jen, you both talked about advocacy. Brendan, you are one of the most incredible self-advocates I've ever met, and that's something that you didn't mention. So I'm going to mention it for you, give you a little, you know, round of applause for that one. But there was a question specifically about how do you advocate for your children academically? Do you have any suggestions on how those who are listening may be able to help their kids as they're struggling in that space? Any resources you could share, or, you know, maybe top one or two things that you've learned?
It's really hard for me to narrow down like a couple, one or two things. I feel like for our scenario, we are advocating for Stella to be included in Gen Ed as much as possible. I've really tried to, like I said, micro learn like what is successful for not just people with Williams syndrome, but people of all with all different kinds of disabilities. And I'm trying to use as many of those strategies as we can as we advocate for inclusion for Stella. So I would just say, like, don't be afraid to use the resources that we have, but also don't be afraid to look outside of that and into your community to see what people are doing. So we've got not only like our community and the Williams syndrome space that I can lean on for support, but I also have a group of people like in my area, in our school district, who have kids with disabilities, and I am constantly like leaning to them, right? Like, I'm not a reinvent the wheel type of lady. Like, if something is out there that's working for somebody, let's try that, right? Like, and so I think, like, don't be afraid to be scrappy in the sense of like just finding the resource you need. Don't be afraid to ask for the resources you need or want, and don't be discouraged when, you know, sometimes they don't work, because sometimes they don't and you have to go on to the next thing. So just understanding that, you know, it's an ever evolving process. And I mean, I know for Stella, just when we get something dialed in, then something changes and we have to go back to the drawing board. So I think that those are things that are important. I also think just going with your gut. As parents, sometimes we can feel like the school district is so intimidating, that the terminology is so intimidating, that there are all these experts that know better for our kids, you know, than we do. And I just don't think that that's the case. I just feel like, you know, like, your intuition is a very powerful thing, and we should follow that. And I certainly have done that. And I've pushed back a lot of times on things that I've thought made sense for Stella or did not make sense for Stella. And I'm just not afraid to leverage those things. So don't be afraid to have a voice when you're advocating for your child, and don't be afraid to use it in a good way or in, you know, a strong and challenging way. I think that both of those are needed. And I always think about the kids, like, I think about Stella, and then I think about the kids that are following after Stella. So sometimes the work that I'm doing now for her may not fully benefit her in the way that I've intended, but it will leave lasting effects on the folks that follow after us. So I'm also keeping in mind that, like, it's our collective responsibility to do more for our community as a whole.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. I'm sorry, Brendan, real quick, but sparking off something you said, Jen, is, as parents, if you are a single parent, you know, find people that you can talk to. But if you are a two parent household, make sure you understand what you want out of the school experience for your kid, and also if your kid is old enough to have an opinion, and so that can be very young, because young kids have opinions too. Find out what your kid wants, what gets them going, whether that's doing like a self-advocacy tool or a charting the life course or something like that, where you can sort of talk about, well, what kinds of things do you want to do with your life, so that you can have an understanding of what your child wants, and then you can mesh that with what you as parents or a parent wants out of school. And so that's also going to help with that, whether it's a fully inclusive, whether it's partially inclusive, you know, what is that setting going to be? So
I think, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like people with disabilities think that they don't have a voice, but we do. We have a voice. And our voices should be heard. Our opinions matter. We matter as people. Just because we have a disability doesn't mean we're different from anybody else. We're not. We're just, we're unique, you know? And I think people with disabilities should understand that it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to stand up for yourself and stand up for what you think is right when it comes to, you know, school matters or any or everyday kind of matters, you know. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sandra? You got anything to add on that?
And I think the single most important thing that we've done from an academic perspective is start every meeting that we have, whether it's an IEP meeting or just a check-in, with a reading aloud of Eden's vision statement, and making sure that everybody in the room is in alignment with that statement and believes that everything that's charted in that is still attainable. Because if there's disagreement over that vision, which is supposed to be shared, then perhaps there are people at the table who shouldn't be. And it then also allows us a nice check on any areas of disagreement where we can say, okay, is what you're proposing going to get her here? Or is it going to perhaps, you know, put the brakes on what that vision that we agreed upon to begin with was? And it helps us as parents too, to figure out how aggressive is too aggressive, you know, and Brendan, to your point, now that she's a sophomore, allowing her voice to be the loudest in the room, you know, maybe something that I wanted for her future is not what she wants. And, you know, dialing back what that expectation is of utmost importance these days. So I think that has really helped tremendously from an academic perspective, is figuring out what that is and working towards that and that alone.
Yeah, I actually had a mom reach out to me this week asking about a vision statement. And, you know, I've heard it so many times throughout, you know, the time that we've been in the Williamson community, that I'm like actually a little bit surprised that there are people that are hearing this. Like, can you share with people what a vision statement is really quickly, and just maybe how they can find resources to access that? Because it's a tool you use with your education team.
Ours has three parts to it. First is, what is the vision for today, right? And so one of the big important pieces to us for today is that Eden is a valued member of her school community, and that she be able to access grade level standards and be fully included in her classroom. Jen, we share that passion for inclusion. It looks at tomorrow, right? Like, what do we want to do with what we're asking of for today? And it's that she would graduate on the same standards that her peers are, that she would, you know, be able to go to college as a result of that she would be able to attain a job and work towards living independently. And then the last part of it is just that, like, overarching, you know, what does this all mean, right? And for her, it means a full social life, independence, and a sense of belonging, because, you know, she has identified that as some of what she hopes her future looks like. And honestly, the vision statement has changed very little since we wrote it. It is something that we review with her before every meeting, just to make sure that there's nothing that she thinks we need to change. Again, because at this point, it's always been her future, but now it's so close.
Now it's really, really becoming her future.
Right, yeah.
Hopefully we gave you some good tips in that question.
Okay, let's move to something fun, a little bit lighter. And I'm going to go to Brendan first on this one, because I know that he knows the answer right off the top of his head. What are you most looking forward to about convention?
Mm. Ooh, I am most looking forward to getting to spend time with friends that I haven't seen in a long time, but also going live with the podcast. The convention, that is going to be an experience for sure. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, just being able to be there. Excited for sure.
What about you?
Mine is, you know, as someone who is on staff, the quick answer for me is I'm looking forward to it being done. but I mean, obviously seeing everybody, seeing all the families, you know, the connections that you make at convention are unlike any other. It's so wonderful. You know, yeah, I look forward, I think what I'm looking forward to most is what's going to surprise me, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the expectation, and there's the subject matters that you can see on paper. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to this session, that looks really interesting. I'm looking forward to what is that thing that is going to kind of knock me back a little bit and, you know, shake my foundation and for the better. Yeah. I you know, so I can't pinpoint what it is that I'm looking forward to, but it's just sort of more of a thing that I know will happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
I mean, similar to you guys, I think I'm excited to connect with friends. There's a lot of people in our community who are change makers, who I'm very inspired by when I'm around them. So I love, like, filling up my bucket with that energy and then coming back and, you know, coming out hot with all different kinds of things that I've learned from convention. So the learning piece is extremely fun and fulfilling to me. And yeah, I mean, am I excited to do a live podcast? I don't know. I'm kind of scared, but I've heard scared and excited, skited. I'm skited.
You're skited.
I like okay. it. What have been your most favorite episodes to tape?
Ooh, that's funny. We were just talking about this literally like 10, 20 minutes ago. Obviously my mom, having my mom on the podcast is number one.
Say that first. The first time you did not say that. Your mom was like, duh. Your
I know. Mom, I'm sorry. Scott, Kieran, Golden Eagle.
Yep.
So many.
That's a good
so
start.
Good episodes.
Brendan has 30 favorite episodes.
Including the eight that I wasn't on.
Including the eight you were not.
Joel, if we're editing, can we edit the fact that Scott was one of his favorites out? Like he doesn't need to know that.
Scott
knows.
Just kidding.
The first one will always be special because we didn't know what the heck we were doing, and it was just so darn exciting to get a chance to do it. I really like Maddie Wu was one that I loved, and her dad. There was a moment, actually, a little off-recording moment that we had with Maddie's dad really hit me, something that he said, and really shifted a lot of my thinking in terms of family support and how I do my job. I really liked, I've liked the little live episodes that we've done, the live from camp and live from Adventure Seekers, which was silly fun. I've been really proud of every single one of the Tommy, I'm looking at the list of shows here. So Tommy and Mariella, having them on.
Oh yes.
They've become good friends. The whole Elm family. And, I think Mariella is a particular talent, and her dad is just one of the coolest people I've ever known.
He's a cool cat. And shout out to the Halloween episode too. That was a fun one.
Halloween episode was pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
It was fun, mommy.
Stella, do you have any favorite episodes?
Have you listened to any of the episodes? No. Maybe one. Maybe one or two.
One or two.
Probably the ones that you were on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So that's your answer. Well, like we were saying before, I love the learning episodes. So like I could listen to Michelle Self and Robin Pegg and like any expert talk about Williams syndrome and the work that they do all day. Like I really get into that. So those are like my geek out ones that I love to listen to. The ones that are the most fun, I thought Recycled Percussion was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And that group of people. Ironically, I was saying out of all the folks that we've met over the course of time in the podcast, they are the ones that are still connected to me. Like they still reach out to me and ask how I'm doing and tell me how they're doing. And so it's very sweet and fun. So I appreciate that relationship.
So one of my favorites is actually the one that was just released. I really love Pascal, and I think that she has an amazing perspective about so much. So super excited to see that she and Gerald were on and listened to it last night. I think there's just something, I think they bring such an amazing perspective. And Jen, I think it was when you, in your sharing of the episode, so that summed it up the best. You know, it's evident that they've been able to pour a lot of love and a lot of resources into Pascal, and just seeing who she has turned into is so amazing. And I'm bummed that Tara wasn't able to be on the episode too, because she'd have brought some humor, additional humor to everything that was shared. But I really liked that one. I also like Jocelyn's, but I find her story incredibly fascinating as well. So and from an expert perspective, always love listening to that epigenetic piece of it. Can you share why awareness for Williams syndrome matters?
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead, Brendan.
Awareness for Williams syndrome matters because it's a rare disability. It's not many people know about it. It affects X amount of people. It's just so important. General awareness about any disability is super important too. But yesterday was Rare Disease Day. It's just so important because, if awareness isn't out there, how are we as people supposed to know if there are other people out there like us?
When you have something that is rare, like Williams syndrome, it takes a lot to break through the noise. We are constantly trying to raise awareness and trying to show the whole, panoply of people that we have with Williams syndrome and the amazing things that they bring to a community.
So Joel, when I hosted the Cleveland Walk, right, the walks are all awareness campaigns. And so I remember during our very first one, I was trying to figure out what the messaging should be around it, right? Like, why should people want to attend this? Why should people want to donate towards it? And I kept coming back to awareness and education lead to acceptance, which leads to, inclusion and then that sense of belonging. And we've talked so much about how we rely on this community when really the individuals that we serve have a dependence on a community even deeper than what I think we can understand. And when fighting for inclusion, we found that one of the biggest hurdles is just a lack of understanding, right? Like, whether it's peers or teachers not knowing how to support. And the more you spread that awareness and educate on what those hurdles may be, the more the walls, come down and people are more willing to embrace it. I think awareness is at the foundation of all of that. And if we ever believe that we don't need awareness to be a strong piece of who we are and what we do, we need to remember what it is that what you can build upon that to really get to the goals of the organization.
Yeah.
See, I can't take the board hat off all the time. I guess I'm still, championing
No,
the
you
mission, but
cannot.
board
I love
president,
that
face
though.
the board president.
Yeah,
Yes.
right, exactly.
And I was talking about earlier with advocacy for Stella in terms of academics. I think it also applies here that not only are we doing work, right, for the people in our lives who have Williams syndrome, but we're doing work for the people who follow, right? Whether that's early detection and interventions and resources and support, whether that is academically, whether that is in the community. My thought is that, I definitely want Stella to have a rich life full of opportunities and people in the community that know her and love her. But gosh, wouldn't it be great when, and I know it's probably never possible, but when we don't need to do all those things, right? That it's sort of more inherent. And so I think awareness of any type of difference is great. Oh, what do you do for fun? Yeah.
Well, I play music. I am involved in Special
Nice.
Olympics,
Which sports?
swimming and golf.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time with my family. I like to get out and go see, my friends' bands play, other bands play. I have a rock collection, so I collect rocks. Traveling, I love traveling. All different kinds of things.
Joel, we're asking what you do for fun.
A huge part of my life revolves around soccer. Played it for many, many years growing up, and I still follow it. Boy, I enjoy music. I enjoy a good cocktail. Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough to live really close to all of my family, and my wife's family, and so getting to spend lots of time with with my niece and nephew is really great.
And what about you?
I was telling you that my daughter danced, my dad, I mean, Stella dances as well. Like, and actually, like, my daughter being in competitive dance, I'm seeing a lot of like dance lately. And I love the art form. I love the energy. So that is very like inspiring to me. I dance myself in a very sophisticated mom's hip hop group. I like to work out. I go to the gym. Most of the time you see me on, if you're watching this, I look like a big pile of dog turds because I will go to the gym at this expense of looking nice for this podcast. I love the outdoors. I love the ocean and being on the water. So why I live in Colorado, I have no idea. And I'm a big foodie, which I know Sindra, your husband, I think is as well. So I really enjoy eating food, taking, I like watching people's pictures of food. I love going out to new restaurants. That was like super fun stuff for me. So I don't think anything like it doesn't seem like that's really exciting. I don't play a sport per se, and I don't. Are you the foodie or is your husband the foodie? Are you both
I
foodie?
like to eat. He likes to cook, so it's like
Okay.
perfect. He also
Good
likes to eat,
match.
but yes, it is a good match. I'm the one that has to follow the recipe. He's like, let's just throw all these things together and it creates this masterpiece that I don't have that skill set. I enjoy like I think it's a product of where I am in life, but I really do love sports, watching sports. I love watching my kids play. But like in addition to that, like Brendan, we love to travel. And we love to visit the national parks. That's a big thing that we wanted to expose our kids to. It's kind of the natural beauty around just even in the United States.
Yes, I love that idea.
Yeah, you have some great ones near you.
We do have some great ones. Have I been there to them? No, but I'm going to write that down because that's probably something. Okay, I have a question for all of you.
Okay.
Which Girl Scout cookie do you think is the most overrated? These are ones I came up with on my own.
Samoa.
I'm gonna go with Thin Mint. It's overrated.
No,
we can't be
Overrated.
friends. That is the
It
best
is.
one. What are you talking about?
It's a good cookie, but it ain't all that.
It is.
What do you think,
And I'm
Brendan?
saying, I will
Oh
also point
gosh.
out that I'm saying this and my wife's not home. And so
Right.
I feel safe. I feel
I
safe
don't
to say that.
I don't eat a lot of Girl Scout cookies, but I would say my favorite is the chocolate peanut butter.
Oh, okay. See, that's the one I think that's the most overrated.
Tagalongs.
The chocolate, you're talking about the cover. What is it called? Is it called a tagalong? You must be a Girl Scout. Yeah, the cover.
No, but I eat them.
Oh,
See,
you do.
this
See,
whole
do you
let's go
guys like
back to
that
that
one?
I
I
like
think
to
that's the
eat.
most overrated. Like, I would take a Reese's peanut butter cup any day. Tagalong, me.
I take both. I'm a Reese's fanatic. Sorry.
You're Reese's fanatic. Okay.
He's a
Okay.
take of both. He's a take of both, not a take
Yeah,
along.
not a tagalong. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna ask you first, Brendan. If you were an instrument, which one would you be and why?
Ooh, probably the drums, because it's my primary instrument. I don't know. It's just the feeling of hitting something and making noise, and that noise helped me get over my fear of loud noises, you know, because when I was younger, I would become physically sick over even like
Of noises.
fireworks or even like a whistle or even thunderstorms, you know, and I don't know, drums just have helped me get over so many things, you know,
I
that
thought you would have said guitar. See, it's good to know this about
yeah,
you.
you know, my second
Joel?
piece would be guitar.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what would I be if I were an instrument? I would love to say that I would be a piano because it, you know, you can essentially be the entire orchestra. You can be multitudes and do all sorts of things with a piano and create all sorts of a cacophony of sounds. I would love to say that that's who I am. In reality, I think I'm probably more of a trumpet. I make no sense. You have only three valves, yet it's all of the notes. The same thing that you press for one note is the same thing you press for a different note. You just sort of change your lips different and it's kind of loud and blatty. I sort of feel like that's probably really what I am.
My gosh, I love it. I love it. Syndra?
My kids would say I'm a recorder, right? Like the same thing that we hear when they're practicing. I'm sure that's what they hear coming out of my mouth. I would like to say I'm a violin. Very particular. You can't, if you do it the wrong way, it's real awful, but there's something beautiful when done correctly. So make up some analogy. Violin was what came to mind first.
Violin is what came to mind. Yeah, I am similar to Joel. I was like, I would love to be a piano. That is like my spirit instrument. And I actually do it sometime in my life. I have a dream, a goal to like play piano because I love piano and I love, music that is majority piano based or keyboard based. But in reality, I think I might be like a clarinet. Like I'm squawky, like, Like that's my face. Like my face even looks like a clarinet. So I don't know.
Okay.
There's a the logical part of me, like what I aspire to be, or maybe that's the emotional part. Yeah, we're disconnected.
We
Well, before we wrap up, Joel, can I just say,
we
we had there, Brendan, you can probably maybe remember the exact amount more than I can, but I really think that we started a lot of board meetings, while we were waiting for people to get into the Zoom talking about the podcast. And
Yeah.
inevitably, it was something that people were just super appreciative of, loved the, as an additional resource for our community, being able to hear from the wide range of guests that you've had, being able to see Williams Syndrome portrayed in all of the guests that you've had with Williams Syndrome. It's been such a nice showcase of the community, and it's not just one representation of Williams Syndrome. So thank you. I mean, I know I don't have the hat officially anymore, but it was something that we discussed regularly. There are a couple of super fans that probably drive up your listenership because they listen as soon as it comes out. But
Yeah,
thank you for this important work that you're doing for the organization. It's really, I think it's a really great value add over the last year.
thank you, Sandra. Yeah, it's been really cool to see how much like positive feedback, we've been getting, and yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, when do we get sponsors? That's what I would literally
Do it.
have my questions is like,
Working on
who our first sponsor should be. If we were going to manifest, if we're going to vision, who we'd like to see as our sponsor. If we had figured
I mean,
that's a
it,
great question. We
yeah.
should talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, let's
Manifest
go big, and let's get like a healthcare provider with deep pockets, and
it.
they can sponsor us, or we get something cool like Disney. Let's just get bought up by Disney.
Disney.
Disney Plus presents the Starry Eye podcast. Something that a lot of people with Williams Syndrome really gravitate towards. Let's, Guitar Center.
Guitar Center.
Seawater.
Guitar, yes.
Rock On, is that what
Seawater,
it's called,
yeah.
Brendan? I should go to them.
The Rock Garden,
Rock
Sweetwater,
Garden, yes.
Sam Ash, Guitar Center.
Or get or a specific, like, let's get Zildjian Cymbals to sponsor us. Or
Pearl Drums, which
yeah,
I've
Pearl Drums,
Pearl
so
Drums and the only drums I've ever played. So
really?
yeah, and I've played them my entire life, and I've never reached out, never nothing. Oh
Yeah, there's
well.
got to be some like learning tools or something. Like
Yeah.
somebody needs a shout out, right? Like Stella uses Cami and Google Read and Write, and
Cami's a great
Google needs
one.
us,
Well,
right? Yeah.
2 years ago at convention, I remember spending time talking with people about a podcast, and what would we need, what should it be, and what would a Williams Syndrome podcast look like. This convention, we can spend time like trying to utilize the connections that we make to find people who want to sponsor and help expand our reach in a way where we can get the word out further by use of sponsors.
Yeah,
We
I'm
just
going.
need one. We need one to believe in us.
We need, yeah, we just want someone who's willing to give us a little bit of money so we could help advertise, so we could advertise the podcast further. There's room for us to grow. I think we've had an incredibly successful year, and yet I think all of us know that we have further we want to go, and there's more we all want to do to help raise awareness and keep
Yeah.
spreading the word of Williams Syndrome and the wonderful people that are in this community. Sindra, thank you so much for joining
Yeah.
us, for
Yes.
coming on.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys for the important work you're doing.
This has been the Starry Eyed Podcast, presented by the Williams Syndrome Association. The show is hosted by Jennifer Keaton and Brendan Lemieux, and produced by me, Joel Listman. Theme song by Tommy Barbarella and Mariella Elm. Got a question for the show? Email us at podcast@williams-syndrome.org or message us at the Starry Eyed Podcast page on Facebook. Video version of the podcast available on the William Syndrome Association channel on YouTube or on Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or comment on the video version and maybe it will be featured on a future episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the Starry Eyed Podcast wherever you get your podcast delights. Be afraid.